Suppose you want to understand the origins of human creativity. Where do you look? Good place to start would be the cave art that our ancestors made tens of thousands of years ago. The first time Picasso visited Lascaux in southern France and saw the prehistoric paintings there, he said, "We have learned nothing in 12,000 years." Today, the most famous French caves, like Lascaux and Chauvet, are closed to the public. But some smaller caves are privately owned and still open for visits. Steve Paulson recently spent a day exploring two of these caves with an expert on prehistoric cave art, the British-born anthropologist Christine Didymon-Hugon.
This has been a lifelong dream of mine, to visit one of these old French caves. I couldn't imagine what it would be like, you know, this art that was made more than 10,000 years ago. So we ended up by the side of the road. There was a beautiful field, an old stone barn. A few minutes later, Gilbert Paymandrant, he's the owner of the cave we were visiting, Bernefall, gets out of his car.
Bonjour, comment ça va?
Bonjour.
And then we walk up a hill through this lovely forest, and then it's like something right out of a fairy tale. There's a door set into the side of a hill.
Right, so we've just walked through a beautiful hornbeam forest to get to the entrance, and there it is up on the hill. And well, I don't think one can imagine a more amazing cave entrance. It's almost as if you're about to discover it for the first time yourselves.
It's a really hot summer day, but inside the cave it's cold. It's about 50 degrees.
On va mettre nos pulls. Everybody put their sweaters on.
It's cold, it's dark, it's damp. It would be hard to keep a fire going. Basically, it would be very unpleasant to live there, which raises the question, why did people make art there? What was it for?
I have no idea. Caves are very special places. When you enter a cave on your own, you will see that it has a very strong impact on you physically. It's like entering a church. It has an impact on your mind and on your imagination. And in the same way, a cave is perhaps even more extraordinary because there's something, to my mind, wonderfully organic about caves.
And also something...
That's personal.
Something timeless because...
And something completely timeless.
You don't know if it's night or day.
And it's magical. There is something magical about the underworld. So here we are in the heart of the cave, the deepest part. And we're going to see some very mysterious things.
The first thing we see are these two hands.
Mm-hmm. You see the shape of a hand, you see the fingers, mm-hmm. and the thumb. Mm-hmm. And here's another one, the thumb and the four fingers. These are the only two engraved handprints that we know of in prehistoric art. These are the only ones that have actually been engraved, so that's quite exceptional in itself.
One of the things about being in a cave like this is you kind of forget that this was all made more than 10,000 years ago. I mean, it's as if it was made yesterday. I mean, these hands could be from someone today. And so you have the sense that you are reaching across time. And then Christine points out something even more remarkable.
The most amazing figure here is
the face.
The face.
Oh, my gracious.
It's the only realistic face that I know of in prehistoric art. You've actually got the eyes and the eyebrows, the two nostrils, the mouth. So you have a face looking at you.
And straight at us. That's
straight
what's so amazing.
Straight at us, through the calcite, searching me almost, you know, meeting our eyes. I mean, that is something that I find extraordinarily moving myself. We're going to continue.
And not all the caves in France are the same. So Bernefall is a tiny little cave. And by contrast, Ruffignac, another cave we visit, is a big cave with caverns that extend for miles. And there's a group of French school kids that are there. And we hop onto a little electric train and we go deep under the ground into the cave.
And now, 1 kilometer from the entrance, people came this far holding their tools, crayons, chisels. Look at this beautiful horse, for instance, the details drawn by the artist lying on his or her back. They're very friendly and happy animals, as you can see. That's why I always call this a happy cave, a joyful experience. But you can also see a very large mammoth in the center. And we also have ibex, mountain goats, upside down that one. Here's another big bison.
This cave is teeming with life. There are animals everywhere, all over the walls, all over the ceilings. There's a woolly mammoth with shaggy fur, long tusks, rhinoceros, bears, ibex, and they overlap each other. Sometimes they're kind of on top of each other. Sometimes there's a procession of animals, and they are drawn with crayons made out of minerals. So there are different colors, red and black, ochre and white.
The modern aspect of the work is what fascinates me. They were already exploring all the trompe-l'œil effects of perspective, three-dimension, abstraction, cubism. All this exists during the Paleolithic. Picasso said when he saw the art that he'd met his masters and that nothing he could do hadn't already been explored by Cro-Magnon artists.
But then Christine points out something that none of us has seen.
Six horses, three on the right, three on the left. And in the center, something that nobody sees at all, is a very faintly drawn horse's head and neck. So centrally placed, it evidently was probably the most important figure of the ceiling. And this is where you become face to face with a mystical impression that perhaps the most sacred and the most spiritual and the most mystical is what's the least visible. See how complex this all becomes. So I'm going to ask him to switch off the line and let's be quiet.
At Bernafal, the very last thing we do is we stand in darkness. Gilbert, our French guide, has turned off his lantern. Christine has turned off her flashlight. It is totally dark. We can hear the water dripping. I don't know if I want to say I felt the presence of the spirits there, but it almost felt like that. And then Gilbert, the guide, we suddenly hear him walking away, and he has left us.
This is his other joke. He says, let's go then.
Steve Paulson and Anne Strainchamps produced that story. Christine Dedeman-Hugon is an anthropologist and art historian who lives in southwest France. Her book about the cave paintings of the Dordogne is called Stepping Stones.